The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
You will say that.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber. And happy Memorial
Day. And it's Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day. In lieu of a normal episode, we're going to do something which we never do, which is we prepared, with the help of Timmy, a special compilation episode. We always get calls with people wondering where the sign-offs came from, so we thought, in lieu of a normal episode, why don't we re-release an episode with the stories of your favorite sign-offs?
We wanted to start a tradition where we start kind of celebrating older episodes in the catalog. You know, I think a lot of people maybe haven't heard some of these things, or maybe you don't remember these things. I don't remember anything. And it was so fun to listen through and pick out some of the best moments. So this is the first of a little series we're going to do when we can take some days off and present to you a compilation series of moments that are thematic, like this one, which is best sign-offs, but we have so many more to come. And this is only part one of two parts of the sign-off. So if you don't hear your favorite sign-off, it's coming in the next compilation, and you'll just have to wait for that.
Yeah, it'll come later. It'll come, you know, who knows? Who knows when it'll come? Sorry in advance for the varying audio quality. Our show didn't always sound this good. It used to sound not good at all.
Hey, and you're just gonna have to deal with it. That's the charm. That's the charm.
It's authenticity.
That's the charm.
That's real.
So, Good Form Bella Thorne, Crunch Crunch, and Women Don't Belong in Balloons. If you're curious where those things came from, well, you're in the right place. So enjoy.
Dakota Johnson is reportedly pregnant. Crunch Crunch, living the Vita laptop. Bye.
Who is Ava Max? Crunch Crunch, bye.
Hilaria Baldwin, Crunch Crunch.
Halsey did 9/11. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I just called a local theater in New Hampshire to let them know that there was some copy on their website from last year that they want to delete, and I accidentally said crunch, crunch at the end because I never leave voicemails anywhere but Who Weekly. Crunch, crunch.
Hi. I just need to tell you, you guys were talking about the green hats, and I have a green hat because my sister got it for me for my birthday. It's my favorite hat, and I recently got vaccinated, and I went to Target, and I'm wearing my green hat, and this Target employee walks by me, and he said, "I love your hat, crunch, crunch," and I honestly almost started crying. It was like a moment of human connection that I haven't had since, you know, February 2020. So I just want to thank you for that. All right. Women Don't Belong in Balloons. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. I just finished the January 22nd episode. I just want to let you know it's really funny. Crunch, crunch.
I'm sure BB Rex's dad is proud, though, of BB Rex's spawn with Lay's potato chips.
Oh, it's the best spawn of the year so far.
We talked about it last week.
We talked about it last week, but now it's fully, the video has been released, the flavors have
and
been revealed.
We just got to play you this video. I mean, I can't even, like, describe it. I'll just play it for you.
Hey, I'm BB Rexa. I'm here in the studio doing something completely different than anything I've ever done before. Flavor and music can trigger such powerful emotions. Different genres of music can get me feeling certain ways, and the same goes for different flavors. So, what if you paired the two together? Now, that would be a crazy sensory experience.
Oh, baby, it's a freaking weekend. Let's get crazy. We got right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
Right now.
Music. music in perfect harmony. With each one of these Lace flavors, you can get an exclusive remix of a custom song from yours truly. Try all three delicious flavors today.
Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch.
I love that.
Lindsay played the crunch, crunch here. Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch. I love it's like my all my hip-hop songs should include like a double crunch. A double crunch.
What is your favorite genre? What's your favorite genre of music, Lindsay? Electric, lime and sea salt. What is it? Wait. Electric, lemon, sea salt, flame and hot dill pickle remix, or kettle cooked classic beer cheese. What's your favorite genre of music?
Am I choosing by the flavor or the genre?
No, that's the genre. That's the genre.
I love hot dill pickle.
Yeah.
So
I'm really waiting for Billboard to release a hot dill pickle chart.
Yeah.
BB would top it every week.
She's the only one making chip music or whatever. It'd be great if all music had to involve chip crunches.
Crunch, crunch.
We played for you the video, but you kind of have to go see it because it's wild how they make everyone eat the chips.
Everyone in the video is eating chips. A chip. Like people on the soundboard, mixers are like on the chips. And I don't think you're allowed to eat chips over those soundboards.
I mean,
all these little pieces.
You should not eat chips over a soundboard.
No, especially not a leg.
No, like, engineer would be like, please eat chips
greasy,
over my $1,000,000
stuff.
Thing.
No. Yeah. But I will say, I didn't know that's what BB Rexha sounded like, even though I've heard about a million of her songs.
That's every time she sounds different. She's like Rita, but she sounds different. Doesn't look different.
No, she's crazy. Okay, so we have to find the chips because I want to actually review them on the podcast. But the problem is I can't find them anywhere.
If you see the chips in New York City, can you tell us?
Yes, please let us know like what bodega to go to, what store to go to, because I haven't found them yet, though I haven't really looked that hard. I will start looking a little harder. They didn't come out until February 28th, so
well,
they're
you
new.
Claim you're about to eat the tuna fish fruit punch
I'm gonna
for
dip
the podcast,
the, I might
but
do
you
that
haven't
today.
Done that.
I might do that today.
If I had fruit punch, I would do it
but
right now.
But we didn't even explain what makes this chip thing so wild, which wasn't really clear last week when we talked about it. You have to buy the chip bag number one. Then on the inside of the chip bag, there is a code. And then you take that code, which is probably greasy and covered in Flamin' Hot Cheeto dill pickle remix.
Well, after I'm done with it, it will be.
And then you have to go to laysturnoutthelavor.com and then enter this code. And then you get a BB Rexha song.
Imagine like working that hard for BB Rexha song.
That's like national treasure.
BB Rexha has to. It's work for BB Rexha to get people to listen to her music, and it's on Spotify.
There's gonna be a National Treasure BB Rexha sequel. National Treasure 3 is gonna be about Nicolas Cage having to uncover the new BB Rexha song.
You unfurl the treasure map, and it's like find the chip.
Like 3 hours of him scouring the country's like most iconic national landmarks to find the new BB Rexha song. It's gonna flop. That movie's gonna flop. I'll watch it.
Well, so will the song.
I like the National Treasure movies.
Me too.
BB Rexha
has spent a lifetime hunting
different flavors
that have been lost to history.
Take a look at this.
Crazy sensory experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you one of the missing pages from the diary of John Wilkes Booth.
ScarJo Yummy Pop. ScarJo Yummy Pop. Bye.
So who is Greta Van Vliet? ScarJo Yummy Pop.
Rip ScarJo Yummy Pop.
ScarJo Yummy Pop. Been out a baby.
Okay. Crunch, crunch.
I've tried calling like 3 times and I think my phone is breaking. Anyway, I'm procrastinating doing some work and I stumbled upon this E! News Instagram and it's the SNL after party from this weekend. And it's Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes, because he hosted, I'm pretty sure. And then a selfie of Leslie Jones and Beyonce, a selfie of Leslie Jones and Jay-Z, Alicia Keys looking crazy and Swizz Beatz, and then the last picture isn't a picture of them together, but it's like a split screen of Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost, who's one of the Weekend Update hosts, and I guess they're together now, which is really weird because I think she's a total them, and he's like a pretty big who, like even by SNL standards, I think he's a pretty big who. It kind of reminds me of like Chris Evans dating Jenny Slate. He's a huge them. She's funny. So it's like, doesn't matter that she's not that famous. It's like, this is what's happening here. I don't know. Good form, Bella Thorne.
So, first of all, before we get into the actual question, I went to the article, or I assume there's several articles that are identical to the one that the caller described, but I went to E! News to see the photo of Alicia Keys, quote, looking crazy, just to see what this caller actually meant by it. And turns out Alicia Keys looks crazy. She's wearing, She's wearing a long, what do you call those, dusters, the long coats, like leather pants. She looks really cool, like a cool styling, but her, she has like her braids.
Neon braids.
Her braids are neon. And so they're bright orange and bright neon red, neon pink. And they look...
She looks crazy.
Really crazy. Like it looks crazy. I don't know how else to describe it. And she's like with Swiss beats. And he's just like, looks normal. And then there's Alicia Keys with her crazy hair. And to get back to the question, Colin Jost, Scarlett Johansson, they've been rumored to be a thing for a really, really long time. The thing about this that's sort
define
of
define long time, though. What, a year?
Like a few months. A few months, okay. 6 months. Since she was promoting Ghost in the Shell on SNL, which I think was like March-ish. That's right, when the rumor started. Right. And then they would be in Page Six a lot, where it's like they went out to, you know, the Spotted Pig together, and then they were, then Scarlett Johansson started being seen with someone else, and so it's sort of,
I hate the press around their relationship because it's so like, this schlubby guy got this hot movie star. It's like, he's not schlubby. He's the whitest bro jock.
Frat bro, Harvard dude. Yeah.
Frat bro that is dating someone who actually he would, this is not an unusual relationship. It's just that he's a TV comedian and she's a movie star. And that's why people like are so, you know, blown away by their relationship. By their
physically, relationship. Physically, to be as shallow as possible, when you look at a side by side of their faces together, you're like, oh, they're a perfect match. They're an absolute, like, they're a perfect match. And you kind of roll your eyes. It's like, it's just very obvious.
It's just funny to me, the like, oh, it's like Jenny Slate and Chris Evans, who I also thought were weirdly perfectly suited for each other. Mm-hmm. When I kind of thought about it, it made sense to me. But also, she's, I don't know, it's
two
right,
classically,
it's the same.
Two very classically good looking people. Like with like,
yeah.
like traditionally good looking features are fucking like big whoop. Colin Jost, whatever. We can talk about Colin Jost for a long time.
I guess Jenny Slate and Chris Evans was a little bit more interesting because he was more like the all American and she felt a little bit more like alt because she, yeah.
like indie,
you know,
movie
is more
queen.
Of like, yeah, yeah. She's more like a, you know, creative, different type of person. And yeah. He felt so like white bread, even if that's not actually the type of person he is in real life. Mm-hmm. The way that we know him to be is that way. So it's a little bit different. These two, it's like, oof, like duh, who cares? You know, this
two,
is the most
two
duh.
Very well sculpted pieces of white bread.
What I love though is when did he mention that she like sat in the car last at the party? That
oh was, yeah.
There are like photos of her like waiting for him.
There
in the
photos
car.
Are waiting in the car, and he's like coming out with his.
I'm
like,
sorry, if Beyonce is at the party and you're waiting in the car, you're a fucking asshole. Like that is unacceptable, right?
Yeah, they're also really the photos of. I love Leslie Jones's shamelessness is just like the most charming thing in the universe.
I know, but it's great because it's like her brand now, so people
yeah,
want
she's
to take
like,
photos
hey, Beyonce
with her.
Selfie, like, hey, Beyonce, here's terrible lighting, and Beyonce's just like, okay, whatever.
I mean, it's true. I just love that Scarlett Johansson's waiting in the car. I mean, even if those photos are not accurate, maybe she wasn't even waiting in the car. Maybe she was waiting in the car for a second and then went in. I love that there's no proof of her at the party. She's literally like, go in, do 10 minutes, I'll be in the car getting photographed. While you like hang out with Beyonce, I'm good. I've, you know, I'm over it.
I wonder Love if it. Pretty soon Colin Jost will be spotted at Scarlett's popcorn shop in Paris.
Oh my God, the popcorn shop.
What's
Who's taking
called?
Care of the
like,
popcorn
oui,
shop?
Like, what's it called? Like, oh, le pop. Oh, yummy pop. It's called yummy pop.
Is that really what it's called? Or you just made that up?
Oui, oui, le pop. No, it's called yummy pop.
Yummy pop. Is that French? It's not French.
Yummy. You have to, if you say it like a French person, yummy pop. Yeah, then it's French. Yummy pop. The bags say the future will be pop.
Scarlett's Listen. Poor ex-husband is just taking working at a popcorn shop in France, like looking at paparazzi photos of her and her new young boyfriend, being like, oh zut alors.
This article on Hollywood Reporter about Yummy Pop. The opening of the shop. The opening of the shop fits right in with the Americanization of Paris's food culture. Yummy Pop sits across the street in the popular Marais district from a hot dog stand, burger joints, barbecue, and anything Brooklyn themed, as they've all been all the rage recently. There's even a fried chicken and waffles bar.
How are those Brooklyn themed? Just foods.
Yummy Pop. I love the photos of her behind the counter working at Yummy Pop.
I love that, like, they were married and then they open a popcorn shop and she's like, I don't want this popcorn life. I gotta get out of here. Paris was not as glamorous as I was promised.
Paris can wait.
No!
Stop. The caption on the lead image of this Hollywood Reporter article that's just the facade of Yummy Pop is Scarlett Johansson's Yummy Pop. It's endlessly funny to me.
He's like, Scarlett, I never get attention for my contributions to Yummy Pop, and I'm so sick of it. And she's like, ugh, au revoir, like leaves, goes back to the United States, divorces him. He's like behind the counter at Yummy Pop, like depressed, like adding salt, adding butter.
Meanwhile, I mean, I guess it's Yummy Pop is actually sort of nice because it's not as embroiled in legal battles as Jessica Biel's Oh Fudge. Did you hear about that?
Did you? I mean, from you, you're obsessed with it. We were promised seventh heaven, and instead we got hell.
Chocolate dipped hell. Chocolate dipped hell. Jessica Biel is being sued. Well, Jessica Biel's company is being sued by, I guess, employees there because they're claiming that they got stiffed from their tips. And there's mm-hmm. like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that allegedly have not been paid to them that are owed to them. And like, oh, fudge. Oh Fudge is where, I mean, did you live in LA when Oh Fudge was open? It's like,
yes,
people
would
take their kids there, right? That's the
thing. I did. And the thing with Oh Fudge was that it had childcare in it. It was like a trendy restaurant with also weirdly trendy childcare, which is conceptually a good idea, but in actuality, a total nightmare to execute. Like, why would you ever want to do that? Think about that too. And also, it breaks like the number one rule, which is if you have childcare, you're not supposed to be in the place with them because then they just want to hang out with you. Like, it's really, you know what I mean? The kid would just come back to you. Or, anyways, the whole thing is like a huge mess. And apparently, the childcare part is not even the issue. The issue is that they straight up were not paying the tips that were owed to the staff. At this restaurant.
The lead of this People story, Jessica Biel and her business partners at the Los Angeles kid-friendly restaurant Oh Fudge are in hot water for allegedly keeping more than $430,000 in gratuities from their employees and denying them meal and rest breaks. I gotta say, that's really bad language because if you're Fudge, you want to be in hot water.
Oh my God. Oh my God. No.
You know what I mean? Make fudge.
What I'm trying to say to you is, if you are a celebrity, putting your name on a restaurant is really a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea.
What was Britney's, like, Nola? Britney had Nola.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake has one in New York.
Southern Hospitality, which I went to more than once because I used to work
down the street. It's not bad.
It was fine. Are we done? I want to keep talking about Oh Fudge. I really, listen, Oh Fudge, if you're listening, fly us over. I want to record an episode in Oh Fudge.
No,
or Yummy
don't.
Pop. Yummy Pop, if you're listening, fly us to Paris.
Anyway, thank you. Hyaluronic acid. Crunch, crunch.
Eddie Vedder. Who or them? Hyaluronic acid.
Not all dog movies go to heaven. Hyaluronic acid.
Happy hyaluronic acid anniversary.
The other thing that we have to talk about, read the Golden Globes, the other who, the number one who that was not in the show proper but in the commercials is, let me tell you,
hyaluronic acid.
Every commercial break began with
hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic acid is apparently very good for your skin, and I believe that it is because Eva Longoria told me about it in, like, staccato every commercial break.
Hyaluronic acid. Was that the Winona Ryder commercial of the Globes? Is that what you're trying to say? Remember that?
Nothing can live up to the Winona Ryder commercial from the Globes. What was that for? Like, shampoo?
I think it was the Oscars also. Yeah, it was like, she's like, everybody loves a comeback story.
She's back.
Story.
Yeah, comeback.
She's
Look
back.
At her hair.
And then we screamed when it was revealed.
That really was the best moment of the Oscars last year, I think. I think it was the best moment of the Oscars.
Because during the Oscars, they played off of that commercial. They were like, she's back. Like, who is she? You know, they had her at the Oscars doing kind of a bit that referred to the commercial. Anyways, I loved it. This was not as good, although I love it. When they play a commercial between Hulu show like episodes enough, you get really into it. It felt like that.
Yeah. So Hyaluronic acid is used as a dermal filler in cosmetic surgery. It's a common ingredient in skincare products. Uh-huh. And I guess it's good at, like, it helps your skin tissue, like, regenerate cells, which I guess is good for, like, treating wrinkles.
I have some.
It's in everything. I didn't know it was in everything until Eva Longoria told me about it. And I just want to hear it one more time.
Hyaluronic acid.
So is hyaluronic acid a them?
Of what? In what world? Of
skincare.
Since yeah, it's in everything. Definitely. Oh, definitely. Like retinol, hyaluronic acid. Yeah, totally.
Okay. And Eva Longoria them.
Yeah.
Women don't belong in balloons. Bye. Please tell us a little more. Okay. Thank you. Women do belong in balloons.
Anyway, crunch, women do belong in balloons. Bye. Next week. All right. Love you guys. Crunch. Women don't belong in balloons. Porkin.
Anyway, crunch. Women do belong in balloons.
Also, is he a who or a them? Thank you. Women don't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons. Crunch.
Thank you. Women belong in balloons. Bye. Love you guys. Women don't belong in balloons.
Crunch, women do belong in balloons.
And I have an important announcement for everyone.
Just for me.
Women don't belong in balloons.
That is such a good line reading of that. Like, you could say that so many different ways, but she said it the perfect way.
She said it the correct way.
Women don't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons. So there's a new Amazon movie called The Aeronauts. And the trailer for it came out right before, moments before we started recording. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, can you just give some context? I texted Bobby, like, the trailer for a movie called The Wedding Year starring Sarah Hyland as a woman who goes to weddings a lot. And I was like, this honestly looks kind of good. I stand by that. And then he was like,
all the production. You know, like, whenever you're watching a movie and then it's like the trailer or the movie begins with production companies you've, one, never heard of, and yes, two, kind of believe or fake. And it's like where the movie cost $30 and was funded by like a country that you didn't know existed.
Right.
That's what The Wedding Year is. But it kind of looks fine.
No, it looks like, even though it's only screening in like Romania and Cooper PD.
Cooper PD. You could only see The Wedding Year in Cooper PD, like, underground.
I would see it. I think it looks really good. Meanwhile, I think the Argonauts, or whatever this is called, the Aeronauts, it looks terrible.
It like premieres at Toronto or something, and then it's going to be on, it's doing the Amazon thing where it's like in theaters a little bit, and then it's going to be on Amazon Prime, and then we can all watch Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne
go in a balloon,
soar to great heights in the 1860s in a hot air balloon, because he's like some scientist, and all of his scientist buddies are like, oh, you think you can predict the weather? Like, absolutely not. And then he's like, if we
predict the weather, it'll change everything. And it's like,
And they're like, you're out of your mind. And then Felicity Jones is like, I want to go in a balloon. And some lady's like, women don't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons.
And then she defies these other women and goes up into a balloon with Eddie Redmayne, and then they like discover weather or something.
But it's like, as soon as they get up there, it's like a CGI hell. It's just like CGI. So it's like once they get up in the balloon, they're like, oh no, snow. And it's like an intern like throws some like soap shavings on them or whatever. Like, it's just insane.
It's when I picture CGI stuff happening, do you ever, it's like my brain, because we were so inundated with this image in 2008, 2009, it is impossible for me to think of about CGI without imagining Zoe Saldana in Avatar makeup with like the blue dots all over her
Zoe
face.
Zoe Saldana's
like
your epitome of the worst CGI or like the most
it's not
CGI.
Even the worst CGI. It's just CGI. She's the textbook of
I
CGI.
Remember being very affected by like the real life photos of Avatar where you would see like what was actually filmed on camera. And like, it's just
they
like,
were acting. They were acting, and then they changed their faces to blue faces.
Like, literally no face paint on these people. Mm-hmm. That was how CGI that movie was.
Like, she just went to work, and they put dots on her face. And she just acted like normal.
I wonder if they sent Felicity up in a balloon, or no balloon at all
like
ever existed. So you said you had something for me.
I had something for you. I have something for you. Because I was like, what is this movie? Like, are we truly out of stories to tell that someone was like, here's a biopic we haven't told. James Glacier, the first guy who like, I don't, what did he even do? Oh, he published, he created the Dew Point. I'm sorry.
Wait, I'm sorry. He was obsessed with weather and his last name was Glacier.
But it's spelled G-L-A-I-S-H-E-R.
Okay.
It's like phonetically Glacier.
He invented the Dew Point?
He invented the dew points, the tables to measure humidity.
Okay, we like that. We support he found that.
It. We like it. Our dew point's always high. We hate
use it.
It.
Okay, it's fine.
He measured humidity in the atmosphere at its highest levels.
Okay.
He broke the world record for altitude in a hot air balloon in September 1862, okay, which is spoiler what this
alert.
Movie is
spoiler
about.
Spoiler alert.
Which is what this movie is about. He passed out. Around 8,800 meters before a reading could be taken. So they didn't actually measure the humidity up there. But he did it. He
Wait,
did it.
What? I'm sorry. He went up into the balloon and then they didn't even get anything?
But then he passed out.
So the end of this movie is that they go up in the balloon and they're like, will we reach like the highest point? And they do it and then like they get nothing.
They do it DEW.
Did you hear Amelia Earhart was eaten by a giant crab?
I've heard they've been saying that for years.
I'm just saying, did you know that that's why no one found her body? Because it's still inside a giant crab that can live for 150 years.
Yes.
The crab ate her bones and we can't even find
the crab.
Okay. Just making sure.
I know all about it.
Okay. Fine. Just making sure.
Did you read the stuff about the Titanic like disintegrating?
No.
People were like, oh no, it's disintegrating. And it's like, of course it is.
It's underwater. It's a fucking ship.
I was talking to Lala about it, and she was like, the bathtub is gone, sweetie. And I was like, of course it is.
But, like, can't you see James Cameron reading that article and being like, I must go back. We must go back.
Make a sequel. Make a sequel.
Like, never forget Titanic, like, opened with him, like, in that little thing, like, bumping around the Titanic.
Yeah.
The literal Titanic.
He really went down there. Yeah. He really went down there. No, but you're not letting me tell the story about the aeronauts.
Okay, fine.
So this guy, like, you are going to scream. Women don't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons.
So James Glacier goes up into the aeronaut machine, the hot air balloon.
It's a hot air balloon.
He does his stuff. But in real life, he went with his co-pilot. Hold on. He went with his co-pilot, Henry Coxwell.
Wait, it's not about a woman? There's no woman in the balloon? They made up the woman?
The movie made up a woman so that he could go up with a woman. Because guess what? Women don't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons.
That is what happened.
So the true story is that women didn't belong in balloons.
Women don't belong in balloons.
So the real story, that woman said, women don't belong in balloons. And Felicity said, you're right. Okay, I'm not going.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? You're right. I'm not going. I'm going to skip this one.
It says, the film depicts Amelia Wren and Glacier in an epic fight for survival while attempting...
Wait, her name is Amelia, like Amelia Earhart eaten by crabs?
Amelia Wren, W-R-E-N. Mm. In an epic fight for survival while attempting to make discoveries in a gas balloon. The movie omits Henry Coxwell entirely. A report in the Daily Telegraph, I'm reading from Wikipedia. A report in the Daily Telegraph quotes Keith Moore, head at library at the Royal Society, as saying, quote, it's a great shame that Henry isn't portrayed because he performed very well and saved the life of a leading scientist. And so these people are like, yeah, but this guy saved someone's life and you cut him out of history.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But
this is wild.
But Felicity and what's-his-face can have sexual tension in a balloon in CGI land.
I don't think people have sexual tension with Eddie Redmayne, no offense. Honestly, or
no
Felicity
offense.
Jones.
No offense.
I don't find either of them particularly spicy.
Put Felicity Huffman in a balloon with Eddie Redmayne.
Oh. It blows up. That gas balloon catches fire.
Yeah, with their love.
It's like, in real life, Amelia and James's balloon did not catch fire due to their sexual chemistry. In fact, she wasn't even there.
Okay, we need to move on because this movie's gonna win like best movie at the Oscars, and it's gonna be like, remember when Bobby Lindsay like joked about it on Who Weekly? Go ahead. It's the Green Book of movies. They just like made up.
Someone's gonna open up
bullshit.
It's gonna be like Sigourney Weaver presenting the award for best picture. She's gonna be like, and the Oscar goes to, and she's gonna open it up and go, "Women do belong in balloons." Yeah, it's the aeronauts, and everyone's gonna clap. Women do belong in balloons.
Okay, bye my gay boys. Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I guess that's all. Okay, bye gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys.
Hello, my gay boys.
Hello, my gay boys.
Hello, my gay boys.
Hello, my gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys.
Hello, my gay boys.
Hi, my gay boys.
Hi, guys. This is Mark. People have probably already sent you this, but I would like for you to both go to Catherine McPhee's Twitter, where this evening at 6:45 p.m., she posted a really short, a 14-second video. The caption, the tweet is, "The rumors are true. Yes, I am going to give the gays everything they want." The video is her in her dressing room, and it starts with her greeting the camera, "Hi, my gay boys," which is just so much, and I feel like would be of interest. So it's only 14 seconds. Check it out. Okay. Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
Lindsay pointed out this is a very gay episode. Apologies to those of you who didn't want a gay episode, but sorry, you lose.
Are you listening to Who Weekly?
Listen to
this. Like,
this is
a gay. I didn't ask for this gay episode.
The straight guy's like, I could deal with Hayley Kiyoko, but I don't know about this.
This episode is very gay.
Here we go. Listen.
Hi, my gay boys. I am here in my dressing room putting makeup on. I'm sure some of you know about that. I am getting ready for my Broadway debut, and I hope you guys will come because I'm going to give you everything you've ever dreamed of.
Ugh, I am not a gay boy, but like, this is a hate crime, right?
Hi, my gay boys. Really quick reminder to Catherine McPhee. This is a musical about domestic abuse, so we can chill for a second.
Right, there's also nothing gay in Waitress. Like,
there's nothing gay.
To say. Like, it'd be one thing if she was in Kinky Boots or something. She'd be like, oh, here I am. Like, my gay boys. Right. But she's not even in, like, you know, a gay musical.
She's not in Kinky Boots. She's in Waitress.
She's in the straightest musical ever. It's, like, about heterosexual relationships.
Yes.
bad ones.
It's bad. Like, this isn't Smash anymore, Catherine McPhee.
I know. Smash really, her Smash fandom really screwed with her mind.
This is one of those things where I'm like, I'm appalled. I'm just like, what a monster, what a villain, what a homophobe. I hate how my gay boys, but the moment I get drinks with all my gay boyfriends on Friday, I'm going to enter the room and say, hi, my gay boys. No. You bet your ass I'm going to say that. I'm going to say it all the time. I'm reclaiming Hi My Gay Boys from Catherine McPhee.
God, it only took a few days for you to for the gay community to reclaim Hi My Gay Boys. Meanwhile, like, she, on their Instagram, they posted a video of her, like, coming out of her first performance of mm-hmm. the musical.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this girl, I'm sorry. There's this girl, this, like, just kind of a girl with red hair who's sitting in the front. She's like, Catherine, you have snatched my wig. My wig is snatched. And you're like, this is, like, the same. I've never seen more, like, appropriation of, like, gay fandom. It's like, she's like, wig, ugh! And it's so
here we go. Let's
uncomfortable.
Play it.
Oh.
It's cold out and my wig is cold, but I don't have a wig because Catherine snatched it. It's gone.
Meanwhile, this woman has more hair than anyone I've ever seen.
She's like, I don't have a wig.
It's like, you got really long hair, girl.
Snatched it. Also, Catherine McPhee, like, couldn't snatch a wig, like, theoretically or actually, if she tried her very hardest. Like, it's
no.
She's the least wig snatching person I've ever seen in my whole life.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't get what it is with her. I don't get her.
I will say the funniest thing. I think I took a screen grab. I can look for it and maybe post it on our stories tomorrow. But I look at Today Ticks a lot. For those of you who don't know what Today Ticks is, it's like an app that helps you get, like, cheap Broadway tickets. Lindsay uses
mm-hmm.
it. It's,
I do too.
Lindsay sees a lot of shows. I don't.
Wow, thanks.
And I was looking at Today Ticks because I wanted to see Waitress one more time with Sarah Bareilles, my queen, because I've already seen it with her because I wanted to see it again, blah, blah. They were too expensive. I didn't want to spend that money again for Sarah Bareilles. I'd already seen it.
I didn't even see it once.
But you could see when Catherine McPhee started because it was
the price went to like $30.
The calendar was like $175, $185, $155, $100 and something. And then suddenly it goes to like $41. You're like, oh. That must be when Catherine starts. And sure enough, it was when Catherine starts. It's for people who want their wig snatched, but on a budget. Wig snatching on a budget.
It's a cheap wig. It's a cheap wig snatch.
I wonder how it will sell. Anyway, we can't talk about this anymore. Let's move on. Bye, my gay boys. Next call.
No.
Who Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace. As usual, we love Squarespace.
We love Squarespace.
It's the only way we will ever have a website.
is Squarespace. You're right. Because it's easy. Because I can update it very fast when things go crazy with tour announcing, which we might have to do relatively soon. You said, we just came and saw you. I said, well, this is a 365 podcast. We're planning ahead.
Everyone's doing live shows these days. So all the venues are getting booked up. So we have to book our tour, which is far away, pretty soon. But we already know the dates. We're ready to update the website on Squarespace.
And we also already know how to put them on the website, which is like half the battle because it's Squarespace.
Exactly.
And we've done this for a long time and it's very, very easy.
We love Squarespace because it's very easy to update things. We love Squarespace because we have a contact form, which is the way most people get in touch with us. Even though we have a very easy to remember email address, which is whatsritaupto@gmail.com, people would prefer to just use the contact form on Squarespace because Squarespace is easy. And on our website, it's easy to find our press clippings. It's easy to find embeds of the podcast. It's easy to find anything you need to know about our podcast. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. It was like 70-something degrees a couple days ago. It's time to put our winter weather to bed, or in my case, under the bed.
Your linens, sweeties. It's linen season, honey.
Oh, all I want is linen all the time. I just want to be draped in linen for my entire life.
Not only am I pulling out my linen tops, my linen bottoms, my linen dresses, I'm putting on my linen sheets, I'm putting on my linen pillowcases. I'm just like, everything is linen because the weather's getting warmer. So it's time to say goodbye to jackets, sweaters, and hello to shorts, tees, and linen.
I know. I should probably buy some linen shorts from Quince. I have a Quince cotton duvet cover that I really like.
Ooh.
And it's warm. Ooh. It's warm in the cold months and it's cool in the warm months, which is sort of where I want my bedding to be, somewhere in the middle. You know?
You can get premium European linen from blouses, shorts, dresses from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And you get it for a good price because Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, they cut out the cost of the middlemen and pass the savings on to you.
I hate middlemen. I hate middlemen.
Only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love it.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/who.
Sweet potato, them, butternut squash. Who? Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne. Bye.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Haven on this. So, all right. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne. Olivia Holtz.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Okay. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Good form, Bella Thorne.
Do you know who Bella Thorne is?
Oh, I mean, I'd like to say I do because I feel like I do. But if you were like, name a thing she's in, I'd be like, I don't know. So really, I don't. Who is she?
Bella Thorne is this young actress who only recently turned 18. So I'm going to backtrack like a couple years. Remember the movie The Duff?
Yeah, I hated that.
It was like the worst movie.
It was so bad.
So the thing about The Duff is that, like, as far as I remember it, at least the two protagonists, it's about high school. The two main people in it are, what's her name? You love her, Mae Whitman?
I love her, and that's why I was so excited for this.
Right, so it's her and then this guy, and they're the leads, and they're the ones who, like, are just best friends, but then they fall in love by the end of it, but they're supposed to be high school seniors. Anyway, they're both, like, 35 years old, and they're playing high school students, right?
Yeah.
So Bella Thorne is the bully, is, like, the mean girl and the Duff, and she's the only, like, lead actor in that movie who's actually in high school.
She's kind
and
of
it's like,
A second coming of Lindsay Lohan-y type look.
Right.
Right?
And
like
so it's
Lindsay
like
Lohan at her, like, at her Mean Girls, like, look.
It's this, like, very jarring casting. Like, there's no consistency with regards to, like ages of the cast. So it's like, why is she in it? Because she's clearly in high school, but these other people, like, graduated from college 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was kind of her big break. That movie didn't do great, but people saw it. I think she's done Disney Channel stuff. She's
definitely not famous from The Duff. She's
no.
She's famous from, like,
That was the first I saw of her.
Like, this article calls her the Scream, the TV series actress. Literally, two the's in that sentence. The Scream, the TV series actress, 18.
So the reason that she's a who now, and we're going to introduce her because she's certainly going to make an appearance again, probably next week.
People
and
already then asked for every about week. Her.
So her whole thing is, she hasn't been anything like super memorable, right? Like, no one really knows who she is unless you're watching MTV and you're a teen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's got a very big Instagram following because she's, you know, like, young, pretty, like, MTV star.
She's also, as if this like helps, she's dating a guy from another MTV show. So they've got it on lock. Like, he's on Faking It. No, because like that adds to like her thing.
Okay. Well, anyway, her thing is, the reason I know who she is, aside from the Duff, is that her Instagram is constantly covered in Us Weekly, and it's constantly because she changed the color of her hair. I think this is the third time in the past 2 months that she's changed her hair color. And it's like, Bella Thorne debuts like her new like pink streaks. Bella Thorne debuts her new like strawberry blonde. She's a redhead.
According to Us Weekly, her hair color right now is called brownie.
Brownie. But the reason they, so this headline's really funny, but the reason it's brownie is because she calls it brownie in the caption. So she says, bye bye strawberry, hello brownie, and then hashtag Latina, hashtag I am Latina.
To be fair, I didn't know she was Latina. So.
She's an interesting who to me because I feel like, specifically, there's a good segue here because we talked about Lily Collins and it's like, oh, who's this who? Like, all of a sudden in movies, oh, her dad's Phil Collins, right? Bella Thorne, like, literally kind of came out of nowhere, and she has sort of an interesting story. Like, her dad died when she was really young, and then her mom raised her alone, and so, like, she's got, like, this very, like, deep connection with her mother. She talks about her a lot on Instagram. So she did come out of nowhere, and there's no reason to know who she is in terms of, like, family ties.
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to keep showing up because she will certainly dye her hair again.
I mean,
when she goes back to red, she's going to be like,
she's also like extremely fit. She's like extremely hot.
She's so fit. That was one thing that was very gross because like the moment she, like her 18th birthday, TMZ like posted a billion photos of her like in swimsuits. And it was like, she's finally legal. Like, yes, it was pretty gross.
I mean, she has a lot of like workout porn on here, meaning like it's like me doing like squats, but it's like clearly just to show like your ass, you know, like mm-hmm. no one's like good posture, good form, Bella Thorne.
I guarantee if you scroll through those like 70,000 comments, there will be someone in there who says good form, Bella Thorne. Anyway, we can move on. We don't have to talk about Bella Thorne anymore.
If you go to Bella Thorne's Instagram and comment good form, Bella Thorne, and screenshot it and send it to us, we'll retweet you.
Yeah. Oh, ooh. Ooh. Ooh, incentives.
We have 500. Excuse me. We have almost 500 followers on our Twitter. So you need to take it back a step, Bella Thorne.
Okay, you got to move on.
But anyway, she's up to a few things that this week. My favorite is she Snapchatted her colonoscopy and everyone cared about it.
It was wild, honestly. It was a wild journey. I don't know if you were like following her when this was happening.
Because you have to prepare for it. You have to prepare for it.
Yeah, I know. It just doesn't feel like something you would snap. I mean, it was kind of out of character for her. I was like, applaud her for, you know, keeping in good form and really sharing her life with the world.
What I really liked was the, I mean, obviously Daily Mail has the best writers in the world. They really know how to put together a story in a very compelling and fascinating way. But one of the first paragraphs of this story is the 18-year-old posted a series of videos. One of the great things about the Daily Mail is they assume you know nothing. They assume you don't know what anything is. They assume you've never left the womb.
Yeah.
So they define everything in very strange ways. But anyway, so the 18-year-old posted a series of videos to social media as she prepared for the procedure, which is a routine test for people over the age of 50 to check intestinal health. Whereas, like, most people would be happy just writing, like, as she prepared for the colonoscopy.
They Wikipedia'd colonoscopy and just really slid that right in there.
Yeah, she's 18. She got a colonoscopy. She Snapchatted it. What else is she up to? She went glamping.
She was the National Park Service's like representative. Like, she did this weird really amazing campaign for National Park Service where she gave a tour and told everybody what glamping was, which in so many ways is on brand. But my question is, who at the National Park Service was like, we got to get Bella Thorne?
Like Randy, the VP of Outreach's daughter.
And do you think this is a clapback to Vanessa Hudgens for defacing a rock in, like, the national park? Do you think Bella Thorne was like, yeah, I'm going to get her, and I'm going to be the glamping queen?
Absolutely not.
Just a thought.
Everyone in the world forgot about Vanessa Hudgens defacing the rock except you.
Just a thought. No, she literally released an entire, like, she clearly didn't write this, but handbook on how to glamp, and it's written, like, for teens.
It's written for teens, and then they have, like, an illustrator make an illustrated Bella Thorne.
Oh, I love it. And she tells you what to pack. She tells you what beauty essentials to bring. She says, Hollywood girls, I hope you've enjoyed my guide and got inspired to try glamping for yourselves. It's awesome fun. You know what?
I mean, she's not wrong.
Glamping, I love to glamp too.
Glamping is great.
We've glamped before.
We have. It was a while ago.
Mm-hmm. It was. We never did it again. Honestly, it was a little bit, rugged for us. It was, glamping was a little rugged.
Yeah. Other thing she's up to is she is on the ever-growing list of celebrities who talk about their acne. Specifically their struggles with acne and how their acne makes them feel less desirable and miserable and how it ruined their lives.
When celebrities or celebrities talk about acne, they're doing
proactive.
Like they're shilling for proactive. So it's weird to like just talk about it casually versus like with a purpose. And the purpose would be to shill.
I mean, I know that she may have struggled with acne in the past, but it doesn't help me to look at someone with perfect seeming skin and to be like, I know what your problems are. I literally just popped a zit before starting this.
Me and Greece. Crunch. Me and Greece.
Okay. Bye, me and Greece.
Do you think that Rachel Ray would be upset that someone thought that she was Rachel Dratch? Me and Greece.
Me and Greece. Maybe someday. Bye.
Me and Greece.
Me and Greece.
Me and Greece. Are you going to explain me in Greece? No.
I can explain me in Greece. The worst thing I've ever said in my whole life. We were driving through Nashville. And you know there's like a fake Parthenon in Nashville?
Yeah, there is though. If you don't know, there is.
Everyone, there's a fake Parthenon in Nashville.
It's almost like to scale.
It's like close. It's not quite the size of the OG Parthenon, but it's close. Like you get there and you're like, whoa, this is big. It's like a fully functioning building that happens to look like the Parthenon. But it's on the Vanderbilt campus? Is that where it was? Vanderbilt campus? Or the other college? I think Vanderbilt. Point is, they built it for one of those like World's Fair type things, and they were like, we're gonna take it down afterwards, and then everyone was like, no, we like it, keep it up, which is what always happens with like World's Fair stuff, but they're like, it's only gonna be temporary, and everyone's like, we love it, keep it. So they did it. It's there, you can visit it. We were driving by the Parthenon. There was a parking lot for the Parthenon. The Parthenon parking lot said Parthenon parking only, and I read that aloud to myself, Parthenon parking only, and then I said me and Greece just to myself. Not really thinking anyone heard, and Lindsay heard me say,
I was sitting next to you.
I said it kind of under my breath, laughing at myself. It doesn't make any sense. It's fully like my brain has broke.
No,
my
it was just like you were just saying, it was like almost this weird, like, it was like leftover debris from what your brain was doing. Like, your brain had all these memes in it, and like, you just thought of this, you were like, Parthenon, like in Greece. And so you saw the sign, and in your mind, you mixed the meme.
I just said,
me in Greece.
Me in Greece.
And I was like,
Parthenon parking only, me in Greece. And then Lindsay lost her mind. And then basically for the rest of the week we were there, everything was me in Greece. It doesn't make any sense.
I was like, did you mean to say that? And you were like, I guess, but also no. It was just so funny. It just felt like it was
the brain. It was an internet brain. All
it was
of our
a
brains
broken
are broken
brain.
Because
it was
of
like
the
a
internet.
Loose wire in your brain, like fully just
like just desperate to make a meme, and it like didn't. It didn't work. It's
me
fine.
And
me and Greece.
Okay.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me in my shadow. Whoa.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Whoa. And I'm so happy to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Oh.
so happy to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Wow.
I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Whoa.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me in my shadow. Whoa.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Whoa.
I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Oh.
Crunch, crunch. I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Whoa, whoa. Thank you. Goodbye.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Lindsay Weber.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Oh.
It's so bad.
I don't even know the words to it.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow. Oh.
Oh, that's it? Okay, fine.
And I'm so lucky to be with you, keeping me from my shadow.
It's not even the chorus of the song. It's like a bridge that she says at the end.
It's the post-chorus.
Are we
going to
talk about this now or what?
We should truly try to do this in 90 seconds.
I don't think you can.
I could complain about this. I could complain about this for hours and hours and hours. And I did yesterday. So with multiple people. First, I think the first thing to say is that like I was describing it to Josh and he was like, I got to watch it. And I was like,
No.
It's not so bad it's good by any means. It's so bad it's terrible. Never see Vox Lux. Ever see Vox Lux.
I don't know if you're going to successfully make that argument if we talk about it. Like people are going to say, oh, interesting. I'm so curious. I got to go see Vox Lux, even though we're begging you not to see Vox Lux. Like learn from
whatever you do, don't see Vox Lux. The moment you get the desire to see Vox Lux, go see like Can You Ever Forgive Me or like Rent Support
go
the Girls
see
or like
anything. Go listen. Watch, you know, I don't know. You've Got Mail on TBS.
Yeah, turn on You've Got Mail.
Vox Lux is why are we absurd. We watch Vox Lux and we didn't expect to be good, but we didn't expect to be as bad as it was. It was really bad. It was really,
really, really bad.
Really,
I don't know.
Confusing.
Like we could talk about this, but this isn't like blank check. Like this isn't a movie podcast. It's not really funny bad. It's just terrible bad.
I mean, I'm still obsessed with the song. I'm still obsessed with her.
The song that doesn't even play. Like they play. They don't even play the Natalie Portman version. The version that we're playing here is not even in the movie.
It's in the movie. It's in the. It's
for 5 seconds.
For 5 seconds at the end, but it's not in
play,
full.
She plays like 15 to 20 minutes of other songs, and then when this song comes up, they skip ahead.
I will say that gripe is not really my biggest gripe with the movie. It's like fucking cares who
all
plays
I
the
have
songs.
Is gripes with the movie.
It's honestly movie. One of the most misguided films I've ever seen. Like
one of the craziest things about it is the crazy. Person who plays. Which is my big complaint. I was talking about it yesterday. First of all, it doesn't have an actual message. It's like insanely violent. It's about mass shootings in a way that's like very uncomfortable and not, and it's not, doesn't have a message or anything at all. So you're watching these horrible, violent mass shootings and you're like, why am I doing this in a movie that doesn't have anything to say? And then the girl who plays young Natalie Portman is not only doing a different character, like on a different planet. So then when Natalie Portman shows up 55 minutes into the movie, you're like, they're not the same person. The girl is playing a completely different character than Natalie is playing. It doesn't make any sense.
We could talk about
moral
all
of the
these
story
things.
Is it's just bad. And we can move on. It's just bad. It's disconnected. It doesn't have a message. It ends abruptly. No one is in the same movie. I love Natalie Portman, but like I'm not even sure I understand what was going on
it
with her
really
in this movie.
It really shows though how a bad script and a bad kind of movie can make a really good actress bad. And that's you know when your favorite actor or actress is in a movie and you're like, "Oh, they're really bad in this." It's like not often their fault. If the movie is poorly written, it can be truly detrimental to people's like talents.
And I'm not sure, like, I guess the argument could be made that, like, Natalie's good in it and you should see it because of Natalie.
She's not.
I don't even think she's good in it. I think she didn't know what to do. I think she needed a director to tell her what to do and he didn't know what he wanted her to do. And so it's just a complete disaster.
There's also something really interesting, and I hate to compare to Star is Born because that's what people are doing, but there is an element of, okay, so this is an actor playing a pop star at the end. Gaga is more a pop star playing an actor playing a pop star at the end. But the performances where Whereas Gaga at the SNL performance, she is supposed to be bad and, you know, it's up to you whether pathetic. She's good or yeah. bad. But it's supposed to be like she sold out, she's bad, whatever. And yeah. it is convincing in that way. Because up until that point, you have kind of her career and you're supposed to see where she is. And then all of a sudden you're
Jackson's
seeing her
like, perform something unfamiliar. Aren't you ashamed of yourself, blah, blah, blah.
But even without that him saying that, you realize this performance yeah, you know. Is different. You realize there's something off. The Vox Lux ends with this performance that's supposed to be kind of the epitome of, look at this amazing performer. She sacrificed everything, but this is her talent and this is why we
and
do
it's
it.
It's terrible.
And it's honestly terrible. Not even subjectively terrible, like objectively terrible. Like she can't dance. She really can't sing that
like,
well.
Like it doesn't. And so like the argument, like I've heard people say like, but yeah, like is it supposed to be bad? Like and it's
it
like,
is.
No,
it's supposed to be good.
Because it's supposed to be good and it's bad. Like this person's supposed to be like a parallel to Madonna or Lady Gaga. And if that were Madonna or Lady Gaga, that final performance would fucking own. And that final performance in Vox Lux is terrible and it lasts 15 minutes.
I just don't understand why if you're going to make this movie about a pop star, like get a convincing pop star to do it. The idea that
or get a guy who's writing, get a writer director who actually knows about American pop music.
It's true. There's a lot of, I mean, people complain about Star is Born being like anti-pop, but this movie
Brady
is
Brady Corbett's
way...
probably a hooligan. He calls in, hi, I made Vox Lux and I don't like you disrespecting
yeah,
my
right.
film on
yeah,
your podcast.
Yeah, fucking right. But this movie's way more anti-pop and way more down on it than Star is Born could yeah. ever be. I mean,
it's like,
there's a whole montage ugh. About how why Swedish people write pop music and how it's like anti-American, how they, it's because like they're anti-American or whatever.
Yeah. And then he makes a character who's supposed to be like Max Martin, like writing her first hits. But then the pop star that he chose to write the music was Sia. So it's like, you can't try to introduce a Max Martin character and then make his output... His 2001 output sound like 2012 Sia. It's stupid.
It's just
like nothing about
just,
it makes sense.
It doesn't exist in the world. But it's okay if sometimes something doesn't exist in the world. But if you're going to make the world have 9/11 and you're going to make the world have mass shootings and you're going to make the world
then you better
an
get
analogy,
everything else right.
then you're going to have to make the pop music that you're saying exists in the world resemble the pop music that exists in that world is my point.
Yeah, and I agree. And that movie sucks. Don't see it. Literally see anything else. This is a Support the Girls fan podcast right now, so go see that.
You know what? You should go support the girls by saying support the girls.
Support the girls. Okay.
Who or them? Gaga Googie.
Okay, Day They Die, because that's like when everything gets talked about again. I mean, it's gotta be. Okay, Goo Goo Gaga.
I think they're both Who's, but I would love your expert take. Okay, Googie Gaga.
Leanne Cuisine, Goo Goo Gaga.
Anyway, Crunch Crunch, Mean Grease, Googie Gaga.
Thank you. Crunch Crunch, Gaga, Googie.
Honestly, this could just be a Chrisley in this story episode. If we cut everything else for Patreon, that's possible. And this is enough.
Chrisley and Googie?
Guggy, Lindsay. Don't forget. The funniest thing that's ever happened is that Bradley Cooper was in Italy and he was getting dinner with someone. And someone who was like vaguely blonde and actually I don't know how else to describe them.
So there was
vaguely
a photo
blonde.
Of Brad and Bono and a blonde person and other people at a table. It's
a
very, very blurry photo. And so everybody reported that it was Lady Gaga.
And
they were
like
this bleach blonde figure is 100% Lady Gaga.
They are
like,
getting
they are
dinner.
Having together.
They are fucking, they are in yeah. love. Oh my God, Star is Born is real. I love this
yes.
so much. And
right.
then, Lindsay, what happened?
And then...
Okay.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Per the UK's Sun, the glamorous person, the way they describe them as the glamorous person sitting across from Cooper at a cafe in France was actually
a
you take 60 it from
year old artist named Guggy.
So, it wasn't Gaga.
It
was Guggy.
It wasn't Gaga. It was Guggy. Not Gaga. Guggy.
Gaga so, Guggy. We thought it was Googie.
It's no.
But then we watched an interview with him and he's like, I'm Guggy.
My name is Googie, and I like to be called Googie. And I am having a very bad hair day.
So Googie is like actually a famous-y artist who's best friends with Bono from childhood.
None of this explains Bradley Cooper's involvement, Bono having dinner with Googie makes more sense than anything in the world, right?
But Bradley Cooper friends. Having dinner with Bono makes sense just because it's Bradley Cooper. Like, of course he is. Mm-hmm. But it's just great that people are mistaking a 60-year-old Irish artist named Googie for Gaga.
As you scroll through every story reporting this, you will pass these face, close-up, full-face photos of Googie, then you scroll a little further than Gaga, then like a profile Googie, of Googie, and Gaga. Then a profile of Gaga. And it's Gaga. Like showing you that, yes, they have the same attributes, right? They have the same, They have the same blonde hair and they're white people,
they're blonde,
right?
And they're blonde and they're white. And they're white. This is great. It says, a source said Bradley hasn't seen her in months. He's good friends with Bono and met up with him and his friends, who include Googie.
He's just trying to enjoy breaking the sun.
It's Gaga.
Gaga,
not Gaga, it's Googie.
Gaga. Gaga, Googie, my gay ass kids. Gaga, Googie.
Stop talking about your kids.
I'm never going to have kids. But still, if I did, I'm yelling at them,
me,
or they're going to be a
baby who listens to Who Weekly. Gaga, Googie.
Gaga, Googie.
Gaga, Googie.
Gaga, Googie.
It'd
I love
Googie.
It'd
be funny Googie. If it was Googie, but it's fine. Because
yeah.
I was thinking Googie, Gaga.
Googie,
like,
Gaga.
The baby.
That's fine. We can
but
call it Googie.
Googie. It's Googie. Googie. I'll play the video here. He's like, I am Googie. It's so weird. Googie apparently is like a true legend.
Apparently.
Kind of. I mean, whatever.
You know, really can't deal with that research today.
But mistaking Gaga for a 60-year-old like avant-garde artist is exactly the way that I want to.
If his name had been like Howard, we would not be talking about this.
No,
his
it's
name
just
is Googie.
Funny that his name is Googie. Okay, can we move the Goog on?
Thank you for listening to the compilation episode, the first of other ones happening. Hope you had a great Memorial Day. Hope you got to where you needed to go. Put on sunscreen. Eat some hot dogs. Have
or
a vegan dog if you need
dogs.
One. I love them both. I love both types.
You
of
know,
hot
dogs.
You know,
there's a brand of not hot dogs called Soy Boys.
I didn't know that. I've never had them, but I didn't
know
that.
Well, there's some in my freezer waiting for you to eat them, so I'm not
I
eating them.
I had an Impossible Burger last night. I love fake meat. I love fake meat as much as Kim Kardashian loves. Actually, I love fake meat authentically. Kim Kardashian doesn't eat fake meat. She just poses next to it.
She definitely eats Nathan's hot dogs. So thank you for listening. I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day. Or if you're listening to it on Memorial Day, I hope you're having a wonderful Memorial Day. Maybe your Memorial Day is just like doing you. And like listening
Maybe
to your favorite
you
podcast.
Don't celebrate Memorial Day for reasons that are entirely valid. You know, like that's totally fine.
That's
and you're
great.
Just listening to this on a Monday. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and assisting. And we will have a normal show on Friday. So call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. We'll see you then. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Bye.
You will say that.
Women don't belong in balloons.